Center for Medicaid and State Operations here at CMS, and I want to welcome you all today to our webinar discussing lessons learned and promising practices from the field among all of you who are grantees of our CMS CHIPRA outreach grants that were awarded last fall. This is the second in a series of webinar trainings that we'll be offering over the course of this year, and we look forward to the opportunity to hear from you and also to have you all hear from each other. Just by matter of housekeeping first, if you would just please go ahead and mute your own phone when you're not speaking, that will help us limit the background noise as much as possible. I want to congratulate you all again on receiving these grants, and we have been very excited to hear some of the positive feedback about how things are going in the field. Please keep those stories coming in. There's a lot of interest in Washington, D.C. about what's actually going on in the real world. I also want to take this opportunity to plug the Connecting Kids to Coverage Challenge that hopefully all of you are very familiar with by now, but if you aren't, the Secretary Sebelius announced this challenge on February 4th of this year, which was the first anniversary of the signing of CHIPRA, and she issued the challenge for all of us to find and enroll those 5 million children out there who are eligible for coverage but are not yet enrolled. And I know you're already well underway in your efforts to do that, but we hope that you will continue to use that language talking about the challenge in the work that you're doing. A couple of weeks ago, Governor Strickland from Ohio announced that he's accepting the Secretary's challenge, and actually we're going to hear from the Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati today, so hopefully they will share some about their plans to meet that challenge. So we have one state that's accepted the challenge, and we would just really love to have some other states join in, so we encourage you to work with your state partners and think about ways that you can perhaps get your governors to accept that challenge as well. The Secretary would be thrilled to spend time in the states talking about the ways that you all are working to enroll children. Now I'll turn to today's program. We'll be hearing today from three of your fellow grantees about their experiences thus far. We'll be hearing from Karen Kiefer and Nancy Brady from the Garrett County Health Department, Vuka Spekovic from the Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati, and Kathy Kaufman and Heather Morrow-Almeida from the Oregon Healthy Kids Program. We've asked each of the presenters to talk about some of the exciting things going on in their communities and to share some of the innovative strategies they've used so far to find and enroll children in coverage. You won't be disappointed, I'm sure. After the presentations are finished, we'll have about 20 minutes for your questions. And before we hear from our presenters, I'd like to ask Beth Gordon from Ketchum Public Relations to just give you a few tips on how to use our webinar today. So thank you very much, and I hope this is an informative session.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Beth Gordon from Ketchum Public Relations. I'd also like to welcome you to today's session. Today's presentation is being recorded and will be posted on insurekidsnow.gov as soon as possible. Before we introduce our first presenters, we wanted to familiarize everyone with some of the tools of the interactive WebEx site. At the bottom right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a chat feature. We invite you to chat with us and other participants throughout the session. Please type your question in the small text box provided. You will see that I just sent a test. Please note that just above that chat window, there's a drop-down option. If you will go ahead and select all participants at the bottom of that drop-down window, that ensures that everyone will be able to see the chats you send. As Jen said, there will be a question and answer session at the end of the presentation. At that point, we ask that if you have a question, you raise your hand. You can do this by clicking on the hand icon above the chat box. We will then call on you and unmute your line. Please lower your hand if your question has been answered by clicking on the same hand icon. If you're not able to ask your question via phone, you may type it in the chat box and we will be able to announce it for you. We will answer as many questions as time permits. And one final note, please do not put us on hold at any point during this call, as everyone participating will be able to hear the background hold music. So now I'd like to turn it over to Angel Miller from CMS.
Thank you, Beth. Now I'd like to turn it over to Karen Kiefer and Nancy Brady from the Garrett County Health Department in Maryland.
Hello. This is Nancy Brady, and I am, like she said, with the Garrett County Health Department. I work in the Community Health and Outreach Department, and I actually supervise the outreach team that we have here at the Health Department that you'll hear a little more about later on in the presentation.
Hi, this is Karen Kiefer, also with the Garrett County Health Department. I am the CHIP specialist. I am working to outreach and enroll children in the health care coverage program, and Nancy and I are working together as a team and working out some really good goals, I believe. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is about our Child's Health is Priceless project and what we're doing to identify and enroll children in our CHIP program. We're going to share with you today some of the strategies that we feel that are effective. Nancy's going to talk a little bit about community mobilization, and we're going to talk a little bit about finding champions in your community and what that would look like. And last of what we're going to share with you are some lessons that we've learned over the last few months. So you'll notice on your slideshow, we wanted to orient you a little bit to where Garrett County is. We are located in Western Maryland. We are the westernmost state or county in the state. If you go about 3.5 hours, you can travel to Baltimore. We're about 2.5 hours from Pittsburgh. A lot of people say we're in the boonies. They didn't know there was a county out this far. We are a rural county with a population of about 30,000. You also may have heard we have a wonderful resort community. You may have heard about Deep Creek Lake, or you may have heard about skiing at the Wisp. Those are some common things that will help orient you to where we are located. Some of the things you may have heard about, we had a significant snowfall this year. We had about 3 or 4 different storms. We had a total accumulation of over 260 inches of snow. Our kids missed about 17 days of school. These are all issues that you probably are familiar with or have heard about Garrett County. You're looking at a snow drift that's about 13 feet. We have a lot of blowing and drifting snow. What you probably don't know about Garrett County is that we have a high unemployment rate. We are about the 4th highest in Maryland in 2007. We have a high poverty rate. Despite having the, you know, resort community, we have areas that, you know, families are not making very much income. We had only 3 other jurisdictions in Maryland that had higher poverty rates than we do. We also have a really wonderful Appalachian culture. We love to celebrate that, and at the same time, we have a sense of pride. We like to be self-sufficient here in Garrett County. But what happens to some of our families is it oftentimes causes them not to seek out those services that they may, you know, qualify for. And that's a unique challenge. We also have large Amish and Mennonite communities in both ends of our county, which presents a unique situation as to some of them may not be receptive to accepting services when it comes to health care. So some of the ways that we're working in our community to sort of face these challenges, our cultural challenges, is that we've sort of implemented what's called a face-to-face community outreach. And what we've done with that is we've identified community partners, and we have trained them. We've given them the screening guidelines, the income guidelines, worked with them how to identify, you know, who might not have coverage for the medical card. You know, what does it look like to complete an application? What kind of documentation for citizenship and identity do they need to submit? So we've worked with some of our community providers and given them that training. I work with Nancy, and we worked with outreach workers to provide them with that information. And she's going to talk a little bit more specifically about what that looks like for them. What's unique about that is that these are workers that live and work in our communities, in each of our communities. They know the residents. They're familiar with the services that are there. And residents feel comfortable talking to them. So we think that that is a unique component. We've also worked with energy assistance. We have an intake worker. Each time somebody applies for energy assistance, they are being asked, do you have health care coverage? If you don't have health care coverage, let's take a look and see if you qualify. If they qualify, if by the income guidelines, they look like they're eligible, she will actually work with them to get that documentation, which oftentimes they already are working on that anyway. They already have their driver's license. They might have other documents for income that they're already submitting at that time. So she will work with them to make copies of that, to complete the application, and then to forward that to our office. So So that's a really unique partnership. We also work with Community Action. We have two housing advocates that actually go out into about 8 different housing complexes. They're working with families on a daily basis. They're talking to them about their housing unit. Do you have health care coverage? You're covering a lot of different topics with them, and they can actually complete that application with them also. A unique partnership that we just started is the Federally Qualified Health Center. I met with the patient advocate and actually did the same training with her. She sees every single person that comes through that building for healthcare who doesn't have healthcare coverage. So she's a really unique partner for us that she can actually do the same thing with the documentation, link that person, get that application started with them, and then forward it to us. So that's a really nice partnership also. We also are working with the local health department with the home visitation program. This is a really nice role that they play. If we're having trouble with our redetermination applications, we're not getting them back, they're really vital in helping us keep that address information, telephone contact information up to date so that people are still getting the redetermination applications. If they're not, we can contact them, find out maybe the family has moved, and we can, you know, help facilitate that process a little bit easier. Another component that we have is the CHIP specialist, and that's my role. We found that it's really important to have somebody that can advocate on behalf of families to work with them if they're having trouble getting their birth certificate, or they're not familiar with what they need for their driver's license, or, you know, they're just having trouble getting the information back into the office. That's part of my role, is that I work with them, I do phone contacts, I can pick up documents, I can transport, I can go to different proceedings with them, and really advocate on their behalf. And it's also a partnership that I'm able to work and identify other community providers that, you know, we may want to be reaching out to. So that's a really unique aspect. And I work very closely with our MCHIP eligibility unit. And that's been a great partnership to do that. The other thing that we listed was school outreach. We recently, we modeled this after a different program that we, when we went to a conference, they had what was called the 100% Project. And what we did was we modeled it after that project where we sent releases to our middle school and high schools that allowed parents to state whether they have health care coverage. And if they do not have health care coverage, we're requesting for them to return that document to the school. The school was then able to release contact information so that we can talk to those parents and see if they are actually eligible for our CHIP program. So we just started that, and I think we sent out over, I think about 2,400 different, you know, to different students, and that's just with our middle school and our high school. We're eventually going to start targeting our elementary schools also, but we felt that that was a really high priority were those two older age groups. So I can't stress enough how important it is to have those trusted community partners that you can identify and partner with them to help them in identifying kids that don't have health care coverage. I'm going to let Nancy talk a little bit more about what specifically the outreach model looks like. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Nancy.
Okay, Karen, thanks. I just put up here for you guys to see the team that we have here in the outreach department. And this right now we have a team of 7. There's only women in this team right now, but we have had in the past male partners in that project. This model was actually formed in the mid-90s, and like Karen said, these individuals are hired to work where they live. When they go through the interview process, where they're asked about what involvement they have in the community, what groups they belong to, you know, different connections that they have to the community, and we use that as a way to rate them during their interview process. They're cross-trained in many different health topics. We actually also do some training with other agencies in the county, which helps with the referral system. They actually become known in the community as that resource person, and although their main task is to educate on the topics that we have grants for here in our department, because of being known as that resource person in the community, they're asked all kinds of questions about different things, and it may be about housing. If they're, need a house, don't have any place to live, they're not worried about starting a walking program. So, you know, we try to help them and send them to the agencies that can help them with that. And I believe for that reason, that's what's made them to be a great resource for us in this CHIP program that we're involved in, because these folks are already out in the community. They've already made those, built those relationships with people, and they're already seen as a resource. So they know a lot of the families, and they, have that relationship where they can give referrals to other programs, and CHIP is one of those. One of the other things that they're involved in, and on this slide here we have the community planning groups, but we actually really use the outreach team to mobilize the community also. And one of the things that they've done in is actually to mobilize is form these community planning groups that are completely run by volunteers, and we have 8 of those groups around the county now that have membership anywhere from 5 to 15 people who volunteer their time to do all sorts of events and activities and trainings on health-related topics. And CHIP is one of those programs that we're looking at and doing some sort of competition maybe within the with the community planning groups to see how many people, how many groups, and how many people they can get enrolled into the program. So the next slide just talks a little bit about, you know, finding those champions in your community. And this is a picture here that we have of some of these volunteers in the community that come together twice a year for training in different topics. And we have a plan for the next time. We usually have around 50 or 60 individuals that come out, and we're going to train these individuals on the CHIP program and give them the information they need to take it out to their community and begin the that competition thing that we have going on with them. But and these folks already, they're the champions in the community, but they know other people in the community and on a smaller scale, like if you're talking about a church and who's the champion within that church. These folks know, and sometimes they are that person, but if they're not, they know the people who are. We have 2 different pastors of churches that serve on these committees and come out to the training, so we do have involvement from the faith community in this, but they really are the ones who know who the champions are in the community. And, you know, this, I believe, has paved the way to our successes, and, you know, we've learned lots of things along the way through this process, and I'm going to turn that back over to Karen now, and she's going to talk quickly. I know we're running out of time on the lessons that we've learned.
I'd like to just quickly share maybe a story or two. I've listed up there school buy-in. We had a parent-teacher conference where we actually went and set up a table, and I want to stress to you how important it is to have that school buy-in. In this particular school, it's a school that's in our Amish community. We have a lot of families that will attend school to the 8th grade, and then after that, they're finished. We had such support from our principal and the staff at that school that they actually made sure that every single person that came in for parent-teacher conference that night made it to talk to us because they felt it was so important. The other important component of that was having that outreach worker present there at that time who had been in that school, worked in that school, had done different presentations, knew the families. They felt comfortable coming to our table and talking to us. And we were actually able to talk to an Amish lady. She had 8 children who did not have health care coverage, and we would have never had that contact had we not, one, had the school buy-in, and two, had the support of that outreach worker with that specific instance. The second one, I just want to touch on having that trusted partner, that champion that you know. We had an outreach worker who identified 2 families, both of which were farmers. They had been enrolled previously in the CHIP program, and one was denied the next time they, you know, did their redetermination application because of some policy changes. And the other family decided, I'm not going to apply. My friend just got denied. It's not worth me, you know, applying. So So what we did was we worked with the eligibility unit. We had to apply for the fair hearing process, and we were able to work with that family, advocate on their behalf, explain things to them, and we got 9 children enrolled because of that effort, of that trusted partner, talking to them, identifying them, and then that partnership with the CHIP specialist. So that was really good. We're going to continue to identify new partners and champions in our community. We have goals to work with 4-H leaders, our athletic department at our high school, our Department of Labor and Licensing. So we're going to continue to find those champions. We think that these strategies are working for us in Garrett County, and we think that they can be implemented in your community or your neighborhood also. So I encourage you to take some of that and see how you can apply it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy and Karen. You know, it's always great to hear about how effective it can be when the community gets involved. Thank you so much. Now I'd like to turn it over to Vuka Strekovich from the Ohio Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati. Vuka.
Thank you so much. Well, I wish I'd gone first so I didn't have such a tough act to follow. I decided to focus our presentation. I hope everyone can hear me. I decided to focus our presentation on how we've been using the media and the web to really enhance our project as of late. But first, I'd like to give a little bit of a lay of the land of our project and who the Legal Aid Society is. We've actually been around for over 100 years. We are a nonprofit law firm located in Southwest Ohio. We actually serve 7 counties in Southwest Ohio: Brown, Butler, Claremont, Clinton, Hamilton, Highland, and Warren counties. And we have 4 main practice areas of law. We do housing and consumer law, employment, income, and health law, family and children law, immigration and education law. And not only do we practice legally, we are very committed to making sure that family stability is maintained and acquired, and we are very committed to assisting clients to obtain benefits. Last year, we opened over 400 cases related to Medicaid coverage. Last October, we received a CHIPR grant in the amount of $316,000. This is a 2-year grant, as I'm sure most of yours are as well. Our project aims to enroll at least 1,800 children over the next 2 years and retain 425 children. And our project expands a little bit wider than our 7 counties. It actually expands into 9 counties, which is Adams, Brown, Butler, Claremont, Clinton, Fayette, Hamilton, Highland, and Warren. And that gives us a good mix of metropolitan and rural counties. Just to also give a little bit of a landscape of our uninsured rates and what's going on in this part of the country, as was mentioned earlier, Ohio was the first state to accept Secretary Sebelius' challenge to cover all of the 77,000 uninsured and eligible children in Ohio. There's actually about 110,000 children who are uninsured, and about 77,000 of those children are likely eligible for Medicaid right now. In Southwest Ohio, there are about 187,000 who are uninsured, and about 10% of those are uninsured children. So our grant really aims to insure about 10% of those uninsured children, about 1,800. Wanted to look at county by county, how many children live in each county, what the percentage of uninsured children are in each county, and how many uninsured children are living in each of the counties that our grant focuses on. As you can see by the bolded numbers, Adams County actually has the highest uninsured rate of children, and Hamilton County has the most uninsured children. So this helps us in terms of focusing our efforts. Hamilton County, for those of you who are not familiar with Southwest Ohio, is a metropolitan area, whereas Adams County is quite rural. We have 5 key target populations, which I think are the primary CHIPR target populations: teenagers, children in mixed immigration households, Hispanic children, homeless children, and children living in rural counties. So we're really hoping by reaching to these 9 counties that we are able to reach all 5 of these target populations. just again, before I get into sort of the media and web focus, we do not do our work alone. We have quite a few partners. Our primary partner is called HealthSource of Ohio. They actually run a number of health centers in those rural counties and are able to reach those rural populations. We have a data management partner who helps us track our data. We have an evaluation partner that's out of Children's Hospital. We're also working with the Cincinnati Health Department, a dental group, and Cincinnati Public Schools to get lists of uninsured kids. And we're working with a local nonprofit to work to get pregnant moms. Okay. So about 2 weeks ago, on March 15th, we decided to kind of kick off and launch our CHIPRA project through something called, not CHIPRA, but Covering Kids and Families Campaign. And we did this by launching a press conference followed by a phone-a-thon. Our press conference was held on March 15th at a very large local high school called Walnut Hills High School, which is actually one of the top 100 high schools in the country. And it was very well attended, not only by some prestigious speakers, but actually also by the media. Congressman Steve Driehaus was there. State Senator Bill Seitz, State Senator Eric Kearney, a local council member was there who issued a proclamation from the mayor. We had state and county Medicaid agency directors there, the health department, and Cincinnati Public Schools. It was very, very exciting. And this gave us an opportunity to really announce our project to the public, not just to our partners and sort of the standard folks who interact with community-based organizations, but really get it out to the wider audience. It also allowed the state Medicaid agency to announce Strickland's recent commitment to insure those 77,000 children in Ohio, which he agreed to do by installing three simplification measures, presumptive eligibility for children, 12-month continuous eligibility for children, and express lane eligibility for children, which are very exciting features. Three TV stations covered this event, three radio stations, and we also got coverage in a major newspaper, the Cincinnati Enquirer. There's the article. The following day, March 16th, we had an all-day phone-a-thon. We had three slots on our local ABC affiliate, where we had people on hand to take calls from the public and assess their eligibility for Medicaid, to screen these callers and help them figure out their eligibility, help them decipher whether or not they may or may not be eligible, and then we were able to send them applications directly to their house and follow up with them. We had interviews with anchors all day. We had our phone number on the bottom of the screen. We did the 7 o'clock news hour, the 12 noon news hour, and the 5 p.m. news hour. And we now have many, many cases here at Legal Aid because of the phone-a-thon. Because of the phone-a-thon, we received 273 phone calls in the span of one day, and we reached 336 uninsured children. Far exceeded our expectations. We also have a website that has a screening form and a way that people can access assistance and apply for Medicaid, covercincy.org, which I encourage everyone to visit. It has that Covering Kids and Families campaign logo. I think people can see with the dancing kids. If you click that logo, you'll get prompted to our referral forms that we use for our CHIPRA project. And we also recently started a Facebook page, the Covering Kids and Families campaign Facebook page. I'm not sure how many members we have, but I believe it's over 100. So I also encourage everyone to become a fan. And thank you so much. I guess we'll take questions at the end.
Wow, thank you so much, Vuka. You know, it sounds like you've had some great success with partnering with the media. Now I'd like to turn it over to our final speakers before we move on to the question and answer portion, Kathy Kaufman and Heather Morrow Alameda from Oregon's Healthy Kids. Thank you.
Hi there. Can everyone hear me? Yeah. It sounds like you can. So my name is Kathy Kaufman. I'm the administrator for the new Office of Healthy Kids, and I'm going to walk through an overview of our new program. The Office of Healthy Kids is the state of Oregon's office for our child health coverage program, both Medicaid and CHIP. So Healthy Kids is our expanded coverage program for children. We have the funding now to reach and enroll 80,000 more children. The goal of the program is that once we get those 80,000 kids enrolled, 95% of all Oregon children have health coverage one way or another. This is the largest expansion of coverage for children that's taken place in Oregon, and the new Office of Healthy Kids was created under the new Oregon Health Authority to administer this program. So here is a quick overview of Healthy Kids. For families who are under 200% of the federal poverty level, they get coverage through our direct coverage program at no cost to them. For families who are between 2 and 300% of the federal poverty level, they have the option of low-cost coverage that's actually administered through something that's really an insurance exchange. We're working with 5 private insurance carriers to provide this coverage to families. Families pay a very low-cost premium on a sliding scale. Premium costs range from $18 for one child at the lower end of the scale up to just over $80 for a family of 4 at the higher end of the scale. And then for families above 300% of the federal poverty level, they can buy into coverage at full cost with no subsidy. It's not a cheap program to buy into, but the coverage is comprehensive and it's guaranteed issue. So no child is turned away because of a pre-existing condition. Here's some more information about rates for that buy-in part of the program. So again, Healthy Kids coverage is comprehensive. It includes medical, dental, and vision care, zero copays for checkups and preventive care, even for the buy-in part of the program. Mental health, behavioral health is included. Coverage lasts for one full year, 12-month continuous eligibility for all children enrolled in the program. And again, it's guaranteed issue, and thanks to national reform, that's something we'll be seeing for all children in the near future. So how are we doing? So the Office of Healthy Kids was created in August. We've only been in existence for about 7 months. We were created the day the bill was signed. And in fact, that was my first day with the state. Since then, we've enrolled just over 38,000 children. So we are tracking just slightly ahead of schedule when it comes to meeting our goal of 80,000 children by December of this year. And the approach we're taking with Healthy Kids is really what I would call a campaign approach. I come from the advocacy political world. And so, you know, that's the lens that we're taking to how we're doing outreach and marketing of Healthy Kids to families across the state. So we have a strong field component, people in local communities who are knocking on doors and reaching out to families. A strong communications component. We've got marketing materials, a paid media campaign, but we also pay attention to earned media, developing a speakers bureau so we can have speakers out across the state helping to promote our program, trying to use new media. We too have a Facebook page, a revamped website, and are working on creating a MySpace page as well. And doing story banking so that we can share the success stories. What does it mean to a family when they are able to find either free or very low-cost health coverage for their children? Because those stories not only help the public understand the importance of this program to the overall well-being of kids, but they also help to encourage other families to see how Healthy Kids might be able to help them. The new Office of Healthy Kids creates a focus on kids coverage rather than having it just be a part of our overall Medicaid program. And all parts of the agency that have a role in Healthy Kids have lines of accountability to our office. So, you know, our charge is to do outreach and enrollment, but we also have authority over the application and eligibility process, the renewal process, how a program is administered, research and evaluation, so that we can make the changes that need to be made to make sure that we can bring eligible children into the program, and once they're in, make sure they stay there. So here's an overview of some of what we're doing. We have targeted outreach grants that have gone out across the state to 27 different community-based organizations. The goal of those outreach grants is to reach hard-to-reach communities, so communities that face health disparities either because they're communities of color or they live in very rural areas. More outreach grants are going to be awarded to community organizations later this spring. And I'll have Heather jump in and talk about our CHIPRA outreach grant and what we're doing with that.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. My name's Heather Moro-Meda. I work in Oregon with the Office of Family Health. And here in Oregon, the state's CHIPRA grant is a really nice cross-office collaboration within the Oregon Health Authority. And we're lucky in that it's part of a broader comprehensive effort across the state to reach and enroll children. Our grant funds are focused on outreach and enrollment of a special defined population. And through engagement of the safety net providers here in Oregon. So we work with our federally qualified health centers, migrant health centers, community-sponsored clinics, and others in partnership with school-based health centers and local health departments. And we're very focused on systems building and capacity building, coordination, and collaboration. And we're excited to see a coordinated approach and partnerships being built in communities between our CHIPRA grantees and the recipients of the Healthy Kids Targeted Outreach Grants to reach and enroll these kids, as Kathy referred to just a moment ago. And we're looking for innovative ways to support this work in parts of the state where we don't currently have grantees. We're partnering with our grantees to build networks and learning communities to support their efforts, and we're providing them with consistent approach for evaluation measures, data collection, and across communications. So there's a lot of exciting things happening with this grant funding. And in the interest of time, I'll turn it back to Kathy. Thanks, Heather.
We also have an application assistance program, and this is a program whereby an organization becomes certified, and then they'll receive $50 for every application they've helped a family complete that results in at least one child being enrolled in the Healthy Kids program. We have a large outreach staff in my office who are focused on coalition building and grassroots outreach. So not only do we have our partners who have some sort of a paid relationship with us, either our grantees or our sisters, but we are also spending a great deal of staff time building relationships with community organizations in either housing, healthcare, or hunger, as well as engaging the business community and other state agencies to assist us in reaching more families. We are holding trainings across the state for our grantees and our sisters, but for any organization or partner who wants to learn more about Healthy Kids and figure out how to get messages out to families. And to date, we've trained about 650 people, and that's just since September. Further outreach plans that are underway, I've just hired a school-based campaign coordinator, so I have one person on staff who will be focusing on the campaign that we have in schools and building relationships with school administrators, particularly in districts where we have high rates of child uninsurance. And we'll also have some targeted marketing campaigns aimed at schools. There'll be a campaign for teens created by teens. We are developing a coaches campaign to engage coaches in helping to enroll student athletes in coverage and making sure parents know that Healthy Kids is an option for them, especially when it comes time for their kids to enroll in sports, and they all need a physical and need to have coverage while they're playing. And we also will be launching a back-to-school campaign at the end of the summer. We've also just hired a campaign coordinator for our Communities of Color campaign. Latino families are a large part of the target population that we need to reach. We know that there are challenges in reaching that population, and particularly in conveying the messages that parents' immigration status doesn't matter to a child's enrollment. We are working hard to make sure that the materials we create in languages other than English are better than just translations of our English materials, that they actually are culturally appropriate, relevant to these communities, and designed, written in the languages in which they're intended to be, and that the look of the materials is appropriate to those communities as well and will be effective with them. And lastly, we are developing a faith-based campaign. One of the outreach grantees that we have is working with us on this. So that we have a coordinated campaign across the state among all faith communities to help drive the message out to families. Our marketing, we've created a bunch of materials, distributed them over 1,000 suitcases that include brochures and applications and basic information to outreach partners, and we've also done a significant number of targeted mailings to providers as well as to families we've been able to identify in other systems. Here's just a look at some of our materials. Our website and our number, our Facebook page has been up since October, and we do have an online application that families can fill out. Our paid media campaign began rolling out in January. We've got transportation ads, radio ads, billboards, and we'll do some very limited TV buys, but probably mostly on Univision and Spanish television, just because it's more cost effective. We're going to be testing all of our materials. This is what you would do in any campaign, so we're applying that model here as well. We want to make sure that the brochures and the language that we're using doesn't just sound good to us and to advocates, that it actually is effective with the families that we're trying to reach. So we're starting that this month, and we'll revise our materials as need be. And then lastly, we are looking at system improvement goals. Healthy Kids is a big shift. We're coming out of years of the agency being forced to control caseload rather than having the ability to aggressively do outreach and bring in all eligible children. So that means that we need to make sure our systems catch up with our outreach goals. And so we're looking at improving our application, both online and paper, and making our eligibility determinations and renewals more efficient, and taking advantage of the ability to for express lane eligibility and ex parte renewals. So thank you. I know that's a lot of information all at once.
Thank you so much, Kathy and Heather. It sounds like there's some really great work going on in Oregon. I just want to give you a quick reminder. We've had some great chatting going on in that chat box during the session, and people have shared their contact information and some website information. So take the time to scroll up and down and take some notes on that. There's really some good information there. Now we're going to take some questions, and as a reminder, you can type a question in the chat window, or you can raise your hand using the little hand icon on your screen. So I'll give you a second to do that, and I see we already have one question up. Heidi Smith from New Jersey, do you have a question? Your mic's open.
Oh, yeah, hi. Yeah, we were interested in the Twitter account, on how you open a Twitter account.
Hi, this is Victoria from Ketchum Public Relations. You can actually log on to twitter.com, and it's pretty user-friendly. You just have to type in a login name, usually your email, and then it'll prompt you for a sign-in.
Thank you. Deborah from Portico HealthNet, do you have a question, please?
Yeah, I had two questions. One, I was just wondering, in Oregon, the Covering Kids program, the large program, is that funded through state funding? I mean, you're able to offer that kind of program with what funding?
All of the components that I talked about in the presentation are through state dollars, as well as obviously significant federal match and the CHIPRA grant that we were awarded, as well as some funds through HRSA. But the bill that created the expansion of Healthy Kids also included close to $11 million for outreach and enrollment.
Oh, okay. And can I ask a second question? This is more general. I'm just wondering if any of the programs have developed kind of standards. We're trying to figure out how many, at what point are you efficiently using, well, here, community health workers, at the point that one person can enroll how many people a year, or that kind of, are others thinking about that? Nope.
This is Kathy again with Oregon. I can tell you that, you know, all of this is so new to our state. Much of it is really an experiment to figure out what's the most effective way to get eligible children enrolled, and then once they're enrolled, keep them enrolled. So, you know, in the evaluation that we're doing of all components of this program, we are taking a look at, you know, we have this application assister program where a payment is tied to the application, and we have grantees where community organizations are just given lump sums. And so we are going to be looking at what's the most efficient use of dollars, what works best, bearing in mind that, you know, what's needed in one community is going to be different from what's needed in another community, and certain populations are going to take a lot more outreach and therefore more dollars than other populations to reach effectively.
Right. Thanks.
Okay. Is there another question from Heidi?
Did I have another question?
Right.
I was typing something in because someone has asked about using the FQHCs and answer. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and answer that now?
In New Jersey, we use the FQHCs to do our presumptive eligibility, as, of course, others do. But our presumptive eligibility application is the same as our CHIP or Medicaid application. So in the sense that any uninsured child shows up, in order for them to get paid for that date of service, they would do a PE application, and that application is then used to process for full eligibility. This way we don't have the uninsured showing up, getting treated, the FQHC being paid, and then us having to track that child down later. So that PE application is then processed for full eligibility. So they're incentivized to do the presumptive eligibility application on the uninsured.
Okay, thank you very much. Diane from Healthcare for All, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Okay, I wasn't sure if my microphone. Okay, so I actually have three questions for each one of the presenters, and I'll try to see if we have time to answer all of them. But the first question is for Carrie and Nancy, and I was interested to know, through their champion program, if they're actually giving a reward for whoever wins the championship. And then the question for Ohio would also be around cost. I wonder if the Phonoton had any costs for them working with the media. And also they're paying their partners as well. And the last question for Oregon around their faith-based campaign. So I'm just interested to know how they actually are approaching that, because that's one of the things we're doing here in Massachusetts as well, hoping to do.
Okay, panelists.
This is Nancy Brady from Garrett County, and I believe there was a question about the community groups and doing awards for them. And we are going to be doing, like, small incentives for them, but it's not going to be any big award or anything. They're just going to have some small incentives that are going to go along with the competition.
Okay. Were the other panelists able to hear the questions?
Yeah, this is Kathy in Oregon. I'm happy to answer, but I think my question was last. I don't know if that matters. Our faith-based campaign, one of our grantees is the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, and so we plan on working with them as well as other networks of faith communities and faith leaders, and reaching out to them in the same way that we're reaching out to the hunger and the housing and the healthcare organizations. And, you know, quite frankly, much of the faith community is plugged into either the hunger or the housing or the health or all three. So we're reaching out to them in that same way, but we also will be providing them with the sorts of things that, you know, blurbs that they can put into, you know, say a church newsletter, or connecting application assisters with individual places of worship in certain communities, providing them materials that have messaging that will be particularly successful for their communities.
Okay, any more questions? What we can do now, then, we can open up all the mics. So if someone just wants to start a question off, please do so.
Hi. We did have one earlier question. If we could just elaborate a little further on the 100% campaign.
Okay. With the panelists that would like to bring that up, would you please address that a little bit, please?
Sorry, we thought our mic was on, but it wasn't.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead, please.
This is Karen Kiefer from Garrett County. We modeled the 100% project after a presentation that was done at a conference a few months ago. And basically, it's where you would outreach to your local schools. We actually went to an administrator meeting and spoke with the principals and our superintendent and talked to them about having some type of partnership where we could easily identify which children didn't have health care coverage and then have permission to contact them. And what we initially said that we would do is our proposal was to have on the emergency contact form each year that is sent out to all families, we would have a question that had, do you have health care coverage? If not, will you sign stating that you can release this information to the Garrett County Health Department? That was our initial proposal, and that's what we're planning to do in the fall. But they were so excited about it that they really wanted to get kids insured now. So the idea is that 100% of kids in, this elementary school have health care coverage. That's sort of where the 100% project comes in, where you can sort of get schools to compete and see, who can have the most coverage. You can put it in the newspaper. You can really give the school some positive publicity because of their efforts. But what we decided to do now until the new school year starts is we have sent home releases to each student in the middle school and the high school so that we could get a jump start on that, and then we anticipate having that information on that health enrollment form each year that it goes out to our students.
Thank you so much. More questions. Mics are still open. Okay, thank you so much. I do want to remind you again to scroll up and down on the chat box. There's still some good information out there. And if there aren't any more questions, I know we're getting short on time. I just want to thank everyone for joining us today. We really look forward to additional opportunities to hear from you and to have you all hear from each other. Please remember to follow the Children's Health Insurance Program on Twitter. You can sign up for our quarterly e-newsletter and check the Insure Kids Now website periodically for updates and additions to our toolkit. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Check that chat box before we end for today, and we've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing this with us. Thank you.